I'm going to call this meeting to order. Thanks for coming. Good to see everybody.
City has to do the same thing, right?
Yeah, do you need to call the meeting to order?
Do I need to call the meeting to order?
Oh, no, no.
The meeting is called to order.
Okay, perfect.
You did it.
Okay. Just want to make sure we're all...
That was quick.
All good. So to start out the meeting, we thought we would start with the board members talking a little bit about some background information of what we're doing with the plan of the, gosh, my brain just went blank.
Capital facilities.
The capital, yeah, thank you. The capital facilities. I have to move from the banking to the, get the brain straight. The capital facilities plan. So we thought we would go around and have board members and get their opinions or what Joe would like to discuss.
Want me to start?
Yep, I'll let you start.
Well, as you're all aware, we've been trying to build decent facilities in this community for about 35, 40 years, and we've been fought tooth and nail on it, and we're at a point where we have to do some things. In 2010, we ran a bond issue to rebuild Park Place Middle School. That time, I believe the cost was in the $40 million range. It is on the list again tonight, and the cost is in the $60 million range because we missed the construction bubble when everybody was begging for work. Now they're as busy as they've ever been, and the price has gone up correspondingly. You know, we've got a lot of facilities that are at the end of their useful life and beyond. So we're having heating system failures, we're having electrical issues, we're having plumbing issues at several of our schools. Bryland's is new, the high school is relatively new, although it's at the stage where, you know, they started building it almost 20 years ago, and so some of those systems are now outdated and need replacing. We did pass the tech levy, so we have some money to rewire buildings using Cat 6 wires instead of the Cat 4.5 wires that we have in most of our buildings. And we don't have any land for future expansion. Those are all things that the board has talked about. You know, that we have a fiduciary responsibility to provide for future boards. And I know that's not a real popular thing with the community, but if we don't start tying up land now, we'll never be able to get large enough pieces without having to use eminent domain. So that's kind of where we are. Anybody else want to add ideas?
The one thing that I wanted to do that I didn't do at the beginning is welcome everybody, but we should go around the room and introduce in case we don't know who everybody is. I'm Katie Wood.
I'm Jim Scott.
I'm Kevin Hanford. I think I know everyone. I don't think I've met you yet.
Jason.
Jason. Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Jim Camp.
Gene Brazel.
Jeffrey Thomas.
Nancy Truett Pierce.
Elizabeth Smith.
Ken Hoover.
Darcy Chessman.
I knew that we had a couple board. I forgot that part because I'm so familiar with everybody, but I want to make sure everybody knows who everybody is. So, Jason, do you want to share?
No, I think Jim kind of laid it out in a nutshell. I think we probably all can agree that good schools are important for everybody. And I think we've got schools that are 30, 35 years old that haven't been touched in a long time. And it's getting to the point where we can't find parts for heating HVAC systems, and it's just, it's time. So, and the problem is we've neglected it so long that the price tag has gotten higher.
And it's catastrophic late failures instead of minor repairs.
So, not that it's going to pass, but we have to try. So
it will pass.
It will pass. Sorry.
It'll take a lot of work.
It's going to be a lot of work.
I think the one thing I would add is that in the process the board's in, there have been some studies so far. Last year, committee worked. Now the board is going to kick off kind of a big listening tour before they make a decision in the fall for something that might go in front of the voters in the spring. So they're in a nice position right now of just asking for input and advice because they don't have a position they've taken that they have to defend. They're still trying to find out what the community wants them to do.
Yeah, and what I'll add is that I'm really glad to have you all here tonight, and I think this is so good for us to do these kind of meetings where we sit down together, because it's really us collectively as two governing bodies that will truly make an impact on how this town looks and feels into the future. And as Dr. Hoover said, we've gotten the report from our committee, and our committee worked on it for a year. They went and looked at every single facility, and they did a lot of work. There is, I have to correct you just a little bit, Jim, there is that one piece out Old Owens Road that we've got.
That's
there.
True.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
a piece
not
like
adequate. We don't
elementary school.
Yeah, we don't think we have adequate facilities. But really, how can we continue to work together so that we can make this town the best town it can be? How can you guys help us, advise us, support us in passing a bond so that we can build the schools and fix the schools that we need to do? What are you hearing from the community? Is one of the other questions I've got tonight that I want to get to is about what would hold us back from passing a bond. You know, we've had some rumors and myths about the school district that have held things back in the past. Are they still out there? Are they getting better? What else do we need to do to get the support we need? What questions do you have so that you could feel good about supporting a bond if we put it out there? You know, what are you hearing or what are you worried about or what do you think that people might think? All those questions. But just thank you for being here first and any advice you have and just how you'd like to see us move forward with the facilities. We're looking forward to hearing all that.
And I'd like to add one last thing, and that is that our athletic facilities, you know, we have kids from ninth grade on traveling leagues, actually even the middle schoolers do some traveling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So these kids are going to other schools in other districts. They're seeing what their schools look like, what their athletic facilities look like, and they know exactly what the community thinks places a value on them. You know, it's obvious that we haven't kept up as we should have been able to. Snohomish has spent $500 million on facilities in the last 7 or 8 years, and we've spent about $40 billion in that same time period.
Not million.
I wish we had billions. Yeah. So, and the kids see that, you know. As hard as you guys are trying to bring more jobs into town, we're still basically a bedroom community, and bedroom communities are based on the quality of their schools. And I think it's time that we improve the quality of our schools. We've worked awfully hard on improving the academics in our schools and the expectations in our schools. But it's time to step up and do some work on our facilities. We're not trying to copy Snohomish's models. We know this community doesn't want Cadillac schools, but we'd like to get to the Pinto stage.
Okay. Pinto stage. That's taking us back away.
Yeah, it is. You know, Pintos were being sold when some of our buildings were being built.
Yeah, Pintos were being sold when I was learning to drive, so. Anyway. So on response from what we could use from you are what questions do you have from us? What is your reaction to what we put out?
Do we have a handout on
there's bullets right here on the agenda.
We do have
Mr. Manick. John,
Would you like me to kind of go over this a little bit? So
I think that'd be great. An idea of what we're thinking about.
And thank you to Mayor Thomas for sitting on that committee.
Yes.
And working with a group of citizens, including the mayor, and the mayor was on the committee before he was the mayor of our city, and has continued since. We've spent the last year looking at facility needs. This list is the list of priorities that committee ultimately came up with, and the red line there represents our expected cash or available funds to perform this work. So everything above the red line, they prioritized at a much higher rate so that the committee wanted to ensure that those particular projects were undertaken with the funds that we expect to have available. And unfortunately, there's a few things that fall below the red line that they would like to be able to undertake, but we're not likely to have funds to be able to do so, or, you know, would do so at a much reduced level than might have been hoped for by some of the members of the committee.
And weren't there a lot of things that didn't even make the list?
There were a number of things.
But there still needs?
Yeah, there's a number of things that did not make the list. Park Place modernization. Basically, we've got a couple of design concepts here for Park Place, and I'll just go through very briefly. The white areas of the building are existing structures that would remain. So we're not bulldozing everything, tearing it down, and starting over. We're keeping high-value spaces. And so this is the newer library building, the two-story library building. The library may not remain there, but the structure itself would remain and continue to be used. This is the gymnasium and associated areas. It was built for high school when it was originally built in the 70s, and it's larger than we would likely build for a middle school today. So it's valuable space, and if we could just modernize it, put in new floor, new bleachers, new lights, so on and so forth, so it looked like a brand new space, it would be much more affordable than building a smaller gymnasium from scratch. This is the commons area and music area, and again, they were built for a high school program, so they're larger than we would likely build today for a middle school. So again, modernizing those spaces and retaining them. And then these are some of the shop spaces. And then the darker roofed area we would infill, and instead of having, let's see, five primary structures on campus there and a number of relocatables, everything would be under one roof, two-story fashion, and connected by this classroom wing here. There's another possibility of moving that connection to the back of the facility, and you're welcome to take a look at these at any point in time. But this puts everything under one roof, allows for better containment and control of the students, better safety and security, and, you know, and really if you walked in, you would not necessarily know that any of those structures had pre-existed. It would all look and feel modern and be a very functional middle school.
These are the 2010.
These are the 2010 concepts, but yeah. We went through a lengthy educational specification and programming phase at that time, and not enough has changed to really cause us to move in any different direction.
And that
although
came
we're
out
not locked into this.
We have the same community support and committees to develop the ideas of what we needed.
Most of this was internal, Jim.
Yeah,
the programming and educational specifications were principals, teachers from all program areas, central administrators, and then we brought architects and engineers and folks from surrounding school districts in to give us information and challenge our thinking and help us come up with some of the design concepts. And Fran and others participated in that process at that time. Small capital and major maintenance, we have a list, and it's a living document. It changes from month to month as we either check something off or we add something to it. It is not a comprehensive list of every need in the district, but it's the higher priority needs. Currently, it sits at just under $18 million, and so the committee, knowing they couldn't fund the full thing, wanted to make some significant moves forward in that regard, and so is recommending we put somewhere between $3 and $6 million towards that, which would give us either $500,000 for 6 years or $1 million for 6 years or something in between to undertake that work. And it's roofs and boilers and parking lot repaving and slurry coatings and fencing and, you know, all kinds of things of that nature. Consolidate and expand Frank Wagner is the next one on the list, and that's this. There's a couple of concepts, but right now we have 8 classrooms that are in these relocatable or modular classroom facilities. They're out off Main Street. We're also having kids walk daily from the existing two-story classroom along behind our maintenance and grounds department and over to Wagner Center for computer lab, for library, for music, sometimes for other things of that nature. So what we'd like to do is not have to have the kids transition, because frankly with smaller kids that takes a lot of time away from instruction, and also be able to get rid of these relocatables or portables out here. So the concept is infill. There's 2 separate buildings here and then a gap between those buildings and the existing two-story structure. So we'd infill there, create interior hallways and circulation pathways. So again, so we could contain kids and have better safety and security. And then add some additional structure in the darker colors here in the library and such. So we'd actually add 10 classrooms plus a library and computer lab and such on the main campus and alleviate the need to have kids come over here on a regular basis. Expand Hidden River Middle. There's a couple concepts here. Hidden River started out kind of as a starter school. There have been two phases of construction that have been undertaken thus far. This would add a third phase, bringing the total capacity up to about 600 student range and allowing for a final fourth phase down the road when it was necessary to bring the student capacity up to about 800 students. Right now, everything in here is existing, from the classroom wing, administration, commons and such, music, and gymnasium. We would be adding two-story construction, first floor, adding several different spaces, expanding the kitchen, which is woefully inadequate for the number of students that are there, adding some unique specialized program spaces, a dedicated art room, a dedicated advanced materials handling room, and then adding some science classrooms, because right now we, again, have five portables or modular classroom structures out sitting in the parking lot where we're conducting our science and art. So it would allow us to move all those students into permanently housed space. And then in each concept, there's some additional, an additional fourth phase, that's shown in this dashed white line where additional program space and facility could be added down the road to accommodate up to 800 students. And we're also looking at some ball field possibilities. For this site, ball fields and such would certainly be included with the Park Place project. The committee wanted us to reduce the use of portable classrooms district-wide to the greatest extent possible, so we'll have to come up with some concepts for what could we do to get rid of the 6 relocatables or portables that are at Chain Lake, to get rid of the 4 that are at Salem Woods. And we probably won't be able to get rid of them all, although funding for the Park Place project and the Hidden River project and the Frank Wagner project get rid of a significant number of them right there. So we might be able to also address Chain Lake and Salem Woods with that money. And then the all-weather ball fields at Monroe High School. The first phase, I'm getting ready within the next week to submit a grant to the Tourism Board. Our board has approved the use of up to $300,000 in unexpended funds, and we also have a couple $100,000 in timber harvesting. So we have about $500,000. You have graciously offered to participate at up to $100,000, and we'll be seeking about another $250,000 to $300,000 through a tourism grant to complete the first field of that three-field project. And then the other two fields would be funded through a bond issue. So that's a quick overview, and if you have any questions or anything, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
And that's the committee's recommendations, not what we've chosen. So part of this is to talk to you folks about what do you think is the right thing, and is that the right order? And
well, and another issue that we have to, that is a big part of this, is the legislature is talking about funding smaller class sizes and all-day kindergarten. Both of those require additional classrooms.
Yeah.
And we don't have classrooms available at many of our schools to absorb those kinds of programs. Mukilteo is in that place now. They have several elementary schools that would qualify for all-day kindergarten, and they don't have the class space available. We don't want to be in the same situation. If the state's willing to pay for it, we want to be able to offer it.
Well, I just want to get there. I'll take an agreement for you. It would be a good addition. So what feedback?
So I'll go ahead and share. So I was on the committee. We're all looking at you too.
Well, I'm first, so you got clockwise.
So I was on the review panel of the committee, and we went out to most all of the locations. Park Place was one that I think the committee felt was in greatest need modern, you know, of having work done. One of the things that, relative to the second one on the list, the fund for small capital and major maintenance needs, as you, just like you get rid of some of the temporary or the portables with these, you also are able to take care of some of those small capital and major maintenance needs by redoing these buildings because some of those projects are in there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's just a little bit more that I'd add to what John said.
You're absolutely correct. I don't remember the exact number, but it's between $2.5 and $3 million worth of work specifically at Park Place. Yeah. So Park Place modernization is accomplished through this bond issue. That not only allows us to do maybe $3 to $6 million worth of work at other facilities, but it removes that $2.5 to $3 million worth of need from Park Place. Mm-hmm. The same is true to a much more limited degree at Frank Wagner because we're not modernizing the entire facility, but we are taking some corrective action there and bringing adding to the facility. So that will correct a few issues, but not all.
The last thing that the committee was looking at was maintaining our current property tax levels. Essentially the mortgage payment that we're paying right now for the facilities comes off of your taxes next year or the year after?
Next year, 2016. It's paid off in Fitch.
But we go out for a bond in 2015, so it does.
Correct. So the committee was looking at just trying to maintain the same level of impact to the property taxes as under current conditions. And so the red line that is on here reflected that.
Depending on whether we leave them absolutely flat with no change would bring mm-hmm. about $78 million. If we raise them a dime per $1,000 of assessed valuation, we'd bring in $80,130,000. Okay. We've worked with OSBI, Capital Facilities and Organization Group, and know that we could receive funding of a minimum of $20 million through the State Construction Assistance Program for these projects, and possibly a little bit more. And we also have, $750,000 worth of mitigation impact fees, and that's how we got to roughly $100 million is where that red line is, because we were confident we'd have that money, maybe a couple million more, but not enough more, for instance, to move on to the next priority of modernizing Salem Woods Elementary at 25 to 28.
Yeah.
And the last thing that I would add is that red line is probably where the greatest level of debate occurred in the last meeting was, do you pay for all-weather ball fields or do you do something else that that is related to education, is the academics versus athletics versus buying land for future projects? So that last couple million dollars is probably where we spent more time than the rest of it. So, anyway, that's all.
One good thing that's going to happen is that property tax or property values are finally increasing across the district, so the tax rate will be dropping. It won't change the tax bill, but the tax rates will be dropping, which ends up being part of the smoke and mirrors that we get debated about for every bond or levy election. But that may make it look a little more palatable because even if we increase it, it will look lower.
I think that's a question for our council members. Mm-hmm. If you were going to advise us about keeping the dollar collection, and we'll go into rates, the dollar collection flat with what our community's paying now, mm-hmm. or going up, say, 10 cents a thousand, that only brings in, a couple extra million dollars more. What's your advice about whether you think it makes sense to
currently
keep the taxes flat or go up those
$6 per thousand on capital?
No.
$1.61
per thousand. Or, and that would, is that if we kept it at $1.61, that would give us the $78 million. If we raised it by a dime to $1.71, that would give us roughly $80 million.
I know I've seen the $6. Is that the total?
No, maybe total all.
Yeah.
Okay. As an average homeowner. Yeah. As a council member, as an average homeowner. Looking at this list, you told me that what could you accomplish if in 2016 you ended up with the same amount of, I ended up paying the same amount of money that I am right now.
Everything above the red line.
But the low end of those estimates.
Yeah. And the,
okay, I understand that. And then the with the addition of
The delta of extra 10 cents a thousand would give us maybe 2 or 3 million. So you look at that red line and go, either way you cut it, is the extra $2 or 3 million that you could spend worth the hassle of talking to the community about an increase?
We'd probably do more of the small capital and major maintenance.
Right.
You know, as he said, it depends on how you slice it. If you never do this remodel, you know, it could be as much as $100 million in just deferred maintenance. But, you know, if you can do some of these remodels, and that gets way, it comes way down. But there's a lot of deferred maintenance out there. There's some work at Salem Woods you could do before you modernize it that would help that school. So if you had a couple of $1 million, we wouldn't have any trouble finding really important needs for it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. But like I said, as an average homeowner, if I'm paying X amount of dollars a month, and I am told that I'm going to continue to pay X amount of dollars for the foreseeable future, it's no change to my budget. Mm-hmm. It's no change really to my impact, to my home, to my children, to anything. But I do get all these wonderful things.
Yeah.
That's a big selling point to me. And so my children are slowly getting their way out of the school system, but still, with the neighbors and everyone I see, that's sort of a plus. Now, people I know, and everybody complains about taxes, so the people I know might balk at a substantial increase. I think it would be harder for you to sell even a small increase, because we're still coming out of the economy, coming out of the recovery, than it would be just to say that
we keep it the same.
We're at this point. And also the fact that in my neighborhood, home sales are going up. Homes that were on the market for a long time are selling, and homes that are going on the market recently have been selling within weeks. So I think you've got a good shot at this, especially if the sales point is, it's really not going to be an increase to your budget, but you're going to get so much benefit, especially middle schools. It sounds like middle school. Mm-hmm. I think the big thing that I catch right there looking at that picture is you get rid of that drop-off lane in the front of Park Place, which is a curse beyond words in terms of trying to get out there when you drop your kids off.
Yeah, that's true.
So that would be my recommendation. I think this is all positive. Mm-hmm. I agree with Board Member Scott that I don't want to say world-class athletes. We have high-level high school athletes, and they would like to have better facilities. I guess you guys are busing them down to the baseball fields here in town, which is something I have heard a lot about, is the fact that they don't have a baseball field. You get off school, you go down to the locker room, you go out to the ball field, you're working. I think that is important, and I think it would be more, if you get the other items on the list and you get down to the ball fields, I think people will approve, especially at that.
You've got ball fields on there?
You do have, it's above the red line, all-weather ball fields.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so you think we need to go at least that
far? At least that far, and push it.
Yeah.
As long as the primary thing is we're doing all this for education.
Yeah.
And all the schools, especially Hidden River, I've been out there. I don't know about, and I know it's probably important to you, but as a parent, portables, I don't understand the impact, why they're so horrible. Okay. They were there when I was in high school. And you get out of the building, you walk across the parking lot, you're in the middle of the building. If there's a real reason why we have to get rid of them, and I've heard people say they're unhealthy, I've heard some of the reasons, but I just don't think they had that much of an impact when I did hear them. So I don't know.
It depends a lot on the portable and the positioning.
And true. You know, like I said, I've been on a portable since forever, so I really don't.
Some of them are fine.
Define fine.
We've got a couple at Hidden River that they put in, and it's really just added lab space, and that's part of why we're trying to do that. You still have to run across through the rain.
Right.
And, you know, that's never the best.
Well, and I agree.
But we've got some at Park Place that are really not okay.
Okay. And I'll trust you on that. Yeah. I really don't know. But I don't know enough about, and I'm not sure if everyone else knows enough about portables and conditions. Is it just an inconvenience, or is it really something that affects the children and their ability to learn?
And the teachers. Yeah.
And the teachers.
And the teachers. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Forgive me. Yeah. If the teachers are listening.
And tonight we're about listening to you, so it's about learning from you what you see as the issue. So that's why we want to hear your perspective, and we're not going to, you know, argue and debate with you, because we want to hear what you're saying, because we think you reflect what the community would say to us.
Well, I hope, for whatever. How important is the purchase property for current or future projects? Because you have to look ahead.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that someday Monroe is going to be bigger, more than a bedroom community. So I don't understand why that's at the bottom of the list. Is it, does the board agree with that? Do you feel that that is?
We haven't had that discussion yet.
Okay.
But we've got a list. Mm-hmm. We're still in the feeling out phase.
Okay.
We need to go talk to the community on a whole bunch of lots of different stops.
Right.
And then we'll come together and talk and discuss this list. And the hard thing with purchasing property is where to purchase it.
Right.
And how big the what we're going to need on said property. And so I think it's kind of a rolling the dice type of thing with taxpayer dollars.
Okay.
Not that it's not important. We kind of are getting an idea where the growth is, but that could change too. Malby could explode. Who knows?
Yeah, until the urban growth boundaries change significantly, the growth is going to be in the north end of town. And we're probably 10, possibly 15 years away before the urban growth boundary getting to 522.
Okay. That's roughly the school generation, I guess?
Yes.
First grade and 12th grade?
Exactly. But we know that within that time, based on, you know, current projections and the way that housing starts are right now, that at some point we will need a middle school in the north end of town, or Park Place is just going to be overwhelmed with kids.
But if I hear what you're saying, Jim, that you might reduce portable classrooms from as high as it is and put purchase property up higher. Flip that a little bit.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I'm just, like I said, I don't know what the impact is of portables.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, in discussions I've had with people, it has always sounded like it's more of a convenience factor. But having heard some of the things I've heard at previous discussions with from the school board and from people to discuss before the council, there are health issues. There are other issues connected to it. I just don't think that's out there that well. I think it's more of a convenience. That's why I'm
more of an area.
Looking ahead more to the future,
yeah.
I'd aim more for that. That's about all I've got.
So I would agree, if you're going to include the portables, then a lot of explaining and making sure the average Joe really understands, because I'm of the same mindset. You know, I don't have any bad experience with portables in my life or with my kids going to portables. So just a good thing to explain.
Well, and maybe the compromise on this is that we will be eliminating a lot of portables at Park Place and Hidden River and Frank Wagner. And maybe that's the hit we take on getting rid of portables now. And the portables at the other school, we save for the next one. Or something like that. You know,
and
so.
I have to admit that I don't have much detail on what that bullet even means. So.
I don't know.
We don't either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that'd be good to know. That's good, though. It's good to.
Good input.
Kevin, would you agree with the buying property part, or how else would you organize this?
No, I think all these the top items are great. I think that the property one, you know, I guess I have a couple questions before I answer that. We might have talked about this the last time we met, but this property here, Is it, did, it's okay for an elementary or?
No.
This school, this building itself?
Well, not the building, the
just
property.
If you tore it down, rebuild.
You built a home.
The site here is about 3.5 acres, and typically we want 10 plus acres for an elementary school. The site we have out of Old Owen that was purchased for an elementary location is 13.5 acres.
Okay.
And Freilands is 5 acres.
Well, Freilands is 7, but seven, then it's okay. In conjunction with City Parks and Rec.
Yeah, and that only works
we use
because
Park and
of
Rec Field for some of our uses, and then you know, share space.
Does that 7 acres include the that property?
The 7 acres is what the district owns.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
That's not the field.
And there is additional property currently for sale that is about the same price that we paid for that 7 acres in 2007, I believe. We finalized that. Maybe
where?
It was 2006, but it was in that time frame. And the additional property around it currently is priced at a little less per acre than what we paid
the property
when properties were going up.
On Old Owen?
On Old
Owen. Oh, there's property next to the purchase that we've got.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yes. But that's not necessarily where the growth is either. The growth is more between Salem Woods and Chain Lake.
So no, I, knowing that you have that property there, I guess I wouldn't, on Old Owen, I guess I wouldn't say that moving that up above the red line is a high priority at this point. I think you guys know more about your property needs really than I would. So no, I wouldn't, with my opinion.
Some of the just for context, some of the conversation was it might be nice to add a small piece of property adjacent to Park Place to be able to expand. It's typically a middle school, you want 25 to 30 acres, and we've got 19. So again, if we could find another couple acres to expand ball fields, that was part of the conversation. When we get to Salem Woods, we're going to need to expand that facility, and we'll need more land to be able to put a septic system on, because the septic system there is old, and we'll probably have to completely replace it. So some of it could be just individually, uniquely targeted improvements, and others would be, you know, for the long range, for the future.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to convince anybody, just to give you some context.
No,
I wonder what we're going to do. How much longer can we do a single high school? I'd like to keep it as long as possible, but at some point we might need a second high school. And that's how much property for a high school?
50 plus acres.
Yeah. So that's one I worry about.
A lot of districts are doing 100 acres.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but you know, one possibility too is that the transportation building, it's really overcrowded.
Where the buses are, the bus barn?
Where the buses are, the bus barn. We should have a washing facility that's recycling water, which we don't and don't have room for. So by, you know, purchasing land somewhere else and moving the bus barn, that would be land adjacent to Park Place.
Just, so the bus barn is school property, it's not private? I thought it was private.
No, it's
no.
School property.
We don't. We do our own buses.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, the rest of it, I would totally agree with Councilor McCamp that, you know, if you're saying, and it would make it so much easier to sell to the homeowner, and from the little chatter I've picked up on Facebook about percentages and rates and all the, as a non-person who's really involved, just kind of garbage, to be frank, I think it would make it a lot easier for you to just say everything's the same. Throw out rates, throw out levies, throw out all this stuff you guys all want to argue about. If you just keep it all the same, you've eliminated the argument. I think it'd be an easy sell.
One of the justifications for going a little bit more is, unlike you guys, when new homes enter the taxing district, we don't get to charge them the same rate. What they contribute reduces everybody else's taxes. So with a large number of new homes coming on, that's driving everybody else's taxes down too.
That,
so by raising it slightly, you're offsetting that, so ultimately people are paying the same?
If I may, I'd hate to see you lose all this for what I'm hearing is 10
right.
cents on it all.
Yeah.
What would you get if you let's say we split it. You have, for the same amount of money, you get six items or whatever. And this is just a second.
Item. Question.
Right. That asks the question, you know, for an additional 10 cents. I'm starting to sound like a used car salesman.
And I apologize to any used car salesman.
But for an additional 10 cents, you get what? Modernization of Salem Woods Elementary.
No, we need more than 10 cents.
Oh, I'm just
putting it out there.
Could you do two ballot measures as well?
That's what I'm asking.
Right.
And say, if we have this, and we keep everything the same, we get all this. Now, for us, a little bit more. We can have whatever you're looking for.
And it could be the future property purchase. Property.
And I don't know what your priorities are and what that extra 10 cents or the extra little bit of money would go to.
Yeah.
The fear is, I think, when you do something like that, is they'll pick the lower one.
Right.
Yeah.
And move to A or B.
That's a fear.
We're going to give them this, and we'll move on, and we would lose
all of
the rest of it.
What we really need.
It just would be a little bit harder to sell.
Yeah.
I think you do it with a little bit of an increase. Especially if you point out all the advantages you're going to get. And then include it. And in addition, if we include this X percent, we're going to get the following things as well.
The other possibility is the small capital needs. We could do that through a construction levy instead of a bond.
Yeah, tech levy or a capital levy.
Capital levy.
Yeah.
And take that out of there for that, and that could be the second.
Then you're not borrowing money to do
that. Yeah. Then we're paying it out of cash flow instead of financing long term.
I'm afraid, I'm sorry, for
Jason.
Hutchinson. You can just call me Jason.
That was Jason.
We're pretty informed.
I'm afraid that if you did that, the people would vote for the small cap fund. And
you'd
have to ignore the
2016.
That would be a fair.
You'd have to wait.
Yeah, we'd wait a year.
Another
year.
I thought
for that.
You were putting on the same ballot.
No. Yeah. No.
But one of the advantages, we still are a supermajority bond entity. You guys can build a jail for a simple majority, but we can't build a school unless we get a supermajority, which is one of the sound bites I'm using with the legislation. It's just wrong. But the tech levy is a simple majority. Or the capital levy is a simple majority.
Okay.
You just can't go after those kind of dollars. But that's still, it's all strategy, right? It's like, should we go for everything this year? What I'm hearing from you guys, given that we can go to the red line without increasing taxes but keeping them the same, that seems like a pretty easy sell. Mm-hmm. And some of these other things we can look at down the road. Next year, the year after that, we can go back and do a couple of capital things, maybe on a levy instead of a bond.
How hard was it to pass the technical bond? That seemed
the tech levy. The levy. It didn't get 60%, but it got a high 50s.
56.
You got to have 60 to pass this.
Yeah.
Why not? And that's why I'm thinking, if it all stays the same, that sounds like your best sales.
Yeah.
If it all stays the same, it's not going to cost you an additional dollar.
But the tech levy was all an increase.
Right.
That was totally an increase, and it got 56%. And this, it has the chance of making it at 60% if it's not extra cost to the taxpayer.
Right. What I was thinking with the tech levy, that you, by using, my train of thought got derailed, I'm sorry.
I know that experience.
Yeah.
So, Jim, the mental algebra you just went through is what the committee essentially went through is for 10 cents more, you get a couple $1 million more, but you risk losing everything because now you've raised taxes versus just keeping it the same.
And what the argument would be.
That's the exact
and that's what concerns
me.
Is there anything else you guys can think of that will, so that's how we get the best chance of passing it. Is there any other, there are rumors still out there that it's not well managed that would get in the way, or you're hearing anything else from the town? What else might get in the way of us being able to pass this?
I haven't heard anything in the last year. I think if anything, it's improved, definitely. Reputation.
I agree. I'm hearing the same comments from the same individuals.
Yeah, an interesting thing that it's difficult to get out there, but we managed our money during the downturn so effectively that we're now able to put money back into programs and rebuild what we lost, whereas many of the districts around misused some of that money or didn't plan properly, and even though they're getting more money from the state, they're still having to cut programs. And we didn't do that.
I was going to say, you haven't cut any programs?
Well, we did.
We did. We cut a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, since 2009.
We're trying to bring them back now.
Okay. You remember the kindergarten program change that we did a few years back, but we just restored that. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is there anything that's still cut? Anything that's still left?
We cut sports teams that we're slowly bringing back. We cut
after-school activities.
We cut field trips.
But they're all coming back, right?
Yes.
They're starting to come back. They're not all back. No. They're starting to come back.
So in addition to, for the same amount of money you get all this, we are also bringing back this.
Right.
Again, at no additional cost, you're managing the money well, which I think is important.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that, you know, it's, you hear about these other districts in trouble, but you don't hear that we don't have that problem because we managed it right. That's not news.
Of course not.
Yeah, our hope is that people like you will feel good about signing on to endorse this bond to put your name on it. And that's the other thing. Like, what do we need to do to get things in place that you feel good about that? Because I think if we go out together as a whole town and say, this is the future for Monroe. I mean, we've got so much going for us now. You guys have done a good job with your planning. We're starting to see some construction and traffic corridors are looking better. I can probably wait for Turney Place. But all the way through Woods Creek.
Have you heard any other facility needs that we have not covered out there in the community?
No. Children in high school.
Yeah.
I don't hear anything from
them. Yes. The one question I have for you guys is, you know, there's been this back burner plan to combine administrative buildings. And build new.
And have an air conditioner?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Special.
And so it would help us to know how realistic that thought is, because obviously this building is a problem. It's not earthquake safe. It's not air conditioned. We have trouble with the heat in the winter. You know, we continue to have boiler failures that leave us without heat when it gets down to 10 degrees at night. Those kinds of issues. And this property, with the growth of the community now, this property could be a valuable asset to someone else. But in order for that to happen, we need to have a plan in place of where we're going to house our administrative staff. And with this joint talk, it would be good to know where we are.
Yeah. Your staff and my staff, our staff, have been communicating. They've had a couple of meetings this year.
Yes.
At my request, we brought in the finance people rather than just letting all the planners, you know, the facility planners get excited about something. I threw a wet blanket on it and said, look, let's make certain the finance, the bean counters are there right alongside you, making certain we understand what we can do. And I know that I've got a draft in my office of what the city's capacity is, but your finances are different than our finances. And
right.
So, when is the next meeting in ballpark?
We still need to schedule it.
Okay, so we need to schedule another meeting this year and sit down and talk about what the next steps are. But I know that there's a real rough what-if site layout. It sounds like the community college probably can't partner with us, but they still want to be in the conversation. Correct. But this is the latest, and sometimes things change. So I overshare, and if it changes, I'm sorry. That's the latest. But they still want to be part of the part of the conversation. It sounds like there's a lot that we can do together. It's just working up the financing for it. And you know, is it something that we build and that you lease from us? Is it something that it's on your land? We build it, and you know, there's some other arrangement.
We still pay rent.
Yeah, you'd still pay some degree of rent. It's all And then we've got other things that we're doing too up on North Kelsey that we also need to take care of. So you've got this debt capacity, this amount of money that we're able to charge or mortgage, and we still need to have that conversation with council, but before we get there, we need to have some better certainty than what we have today.
Well, if we're going to participate in it, the funding is going to have to come through a bond. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the upfront part of the bond or it's the state contribution after we build everything like Everett did or something like that, but it's going to be connected to a bond in some way, shape, or form.
But if we could have the city bond instead of us bond, then the simple majority instead of simple majority would be some advantage.
That's true.
Well, we have other funding mechanisms as well that we can explore.
Right.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, whether it's a third party, you build it, and then we lease it from them, or we build it, and then you lease a portion of it from us, or we go out for a bond, there are a number of different ways that we can look at doing this. So.
I think it's a great idea. Yeah. I mean, I just think it's so smart to do a single...
We've got so much duplication of space.
Yeah.
I mean, we both need big conference rooms. We both need meeting rooms.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes sense.
Right, and there was also discussion about, just like you were saying, you're needing to have recycled a place to wash off the buses.
Right.
Yeah, that facility. We do the same thing at our campus, and so if there's a way to have your bus facility somehow adjacent to or part of our own machinery, we can use some of the same facilities. We've got staff that do welding and vehicle maintenance and all this other stuff, and if there's a way that we can have them all in one location, work out that interlocal agreement or whatever where we're sharing the same pool of folks. What a great way to save the taxpayers. And that these are, whether it's staffing or space or, O&M, equipment.
Expertise.
These are all things that we can save the taxpayers money on. And that's what we're trying to get to.
Yeah, I think one of the only complication that we need to figure out is that our tax base is different than your tax base. We have, mm-hmm. You're inside the city limits and we go way out beyond it. But it's just so smart to try and do something collaboratively like that. I really appreciate the effort to look at it and see what the technical details might be.
Our tax base outside of the city, those property owners would still benefit from the savings.
And before we continue, something that I always have to do, I'd like to, for the record, show that Councilmember Davis came into the room about 5 minutes ago.
So. And we aren't being recorded tonight, but...
No. Oh, we are.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
This is the sheet that we're looking at right now. Everything above the red line is the recommendation for funding from the Citizens Advisory Committee.
Right.
And without any knowledge or any time, we'd like your recommendations.
Everything above the red line keeps your property taxes, so if you're paying the same amount. You add below the red line and you're paying more in property taxes. So.
I think I would just say, from council's perspective, and please, guys, you can give your own opinion, but I would say that we're all in agreement that this shared facility idea is the way to go.
Good concept.
I think we're all on board, let's do it. It's just working out the details.
Devil's
so.
Mm-hmm.
In
the details every time.
Does that
sound? Absolutely. The facility we have at City Hall works, but I've seen a lot of people crowded in there. Mm-hmm. And of course, visiting you here. when you notified me that the earthquake possibly impacts would be severe, I can understand why you're looking around.
Jim,
I'm concerned about that Community College can't join us, though, because that was one of the things of three-way split for...
Mm-hmm. Their capital is completely different than... I mean, they get...
So it's pretty much from the legislature.
State, right. Yeah. And it's an awkward, long process that every single president of every community college gets to vote on.
And I've got to say, this before you do that,
I just want to say I applaud you for bringing the financial people in first, because it sounds like just having two organizations to get the financial side of it worked out is going to be probably one of the biggest hurdles we're going to have to overcome.
Yes.
Building the building and moving the people into it will probably be considerably easier than that part.
And I actually consider it a benefit that the community college can't participate, because I would hate to have to convince the legislature to come to agreement on this.
Yeah.
And I can understand that.
And one of the things that he said when he came to share about that was that they would have to lease. My understanding from when he shared was that he wasn't saying we're out. Oh, he was saying we can't fund it, but we'd love to be involved, we'd have to lease it.
Tenants can help.
Which would be just fine.
An anchor tenant? Okay.
I'm sorry, Mayor. Go ahead.
Go. Thank you. And what I wanted to say is that, so,
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I appreciate what you said. Not Rob, but this just came up the last meeting too, and things can sometimes can be so fluid that you know, it may be that we can partner with them in some way, like have some classrooms we can convert over at some point in time in 10 or 15 years. And I think there was also a question mark in their mind as to what kind of space they need in the future. They need to move out of, they want to move out of Sockeyes, but how much more space do they need in Monroe versus opening up potentially other space somewhere else in the county? So I think that was part of a discussion also. And then I wanted to add one more thing. When I was in the Citizen Advisory Committee, one of the things they were talking about is to replace some of the things here in this building. They have to go to, like, Snohomish, the antique stores. So maybe that was just a joke, but you see the theater right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
We wish it was a joke.
The heaters are what I actually like. I think they're pretty attractive.
They are attractive.
I hate to ask. Those are actually functioning.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Oh,
that is, we hope they're functioning.
Still a steam.
Not today.
Driven by one thermostat in the hallway.
Jim, when I was in here back in, I don't know, sometime in the wintertime, I was sitting in one of the meetings, and all of a sudden I heard something bubbling, and I'm looking around going, what's that? That's your heat.
Yeah.
Okay, remember in the movies where they'd be clanging on something?
Right.
That's our system.
The Christmas story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And notice that the administration building still has, it's way below the line, you know. We still don't have money for it, which is why this is a great conversation. I don't know that we'll ever get to that level. And
I think you should just before something happens. Because
yeah,
like you said, this is not as safe a building as it should be.
Exactly, and it's not. I mean, we have very capable, very experienced senior folks working here, mm-hmm. and you know, to have to put up with this, it just makes no sense to me. Okay. But again, we've got so many things that are above it.
It will be a lot easier to sell it. Based on the cost savings of doing a joint property.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's why that's part of why.
And that also gives us a time definition so that they can't say, oh no, maybe next time.
Okay, on that note, I have to close the meeting.
Yeah, because we have to
start. So thank you very much
for
your input. Thank you for coming.
And you're more than welcome to sit through our business meeting.
Somebody's told me.
Right. What you think the right priority is.